indietro. Very strange, strange history. 1600s, 1700s. Was overloaded with bidat, all types of bidat. So there was one person that was just returning from the army, coming home early in the morning. It's a very fajr namaz, so he's passing through, and as he's passing through, he comes across a tent. So curious, we went near the tent. So someone from within the tent heard the footsteps. So we asked, "Who is this?" So he said, "It's Naseem." So if it's Naseem, then he can't come out of the Gulzar. Naseem is a cool breeze. Gulzar is a garden. So this cool breeze will not be able to escape from the garden. When Naseem, that is the soldier that is returning, when he heard the voice, he became so overwhelmed that he was like mesmerized. Went into the tent and asked to be accepted the oath of allegiance. Accepted, etc. So the whole training there was the training in bidat. So it's a cult, and the cult will show you ways of mesmerizing, hypnotizing, some type of spiritual arts, and through the spiritual arts you feel some type of experiences. And unfortunately in this day, more than action, people like to see experiences, feelings, kayfiyat. Whereas the basis is not the feelings, the basis is the sunnah. If you had 101 different feelings, but you're not in conformity with the sunnah, kya fayda? This morning I asked one person, must have attended a qawwali. Yeah. How do you feel? Like jumping and all that. So the feelings are very great, isn't it? In spite of the feelings being so great and felt so worked up, so high you felt, but has it got any truck with the sunnah? It's world apart. The sounds are very good, the act and the whole display is excellent, but it's totally shifted off, absolutely off the mark. One night you listen to qawwali till 3 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock you go to sleep. No isha namaz, no fajr namaz. Now if someone is reading isha namaz and fajr namaz, no feelings. He again big wuzu, go toilet, big wuzu, eat namaz, stand behind that imam. No, imam, you have to stretch. You know, 101 different type of complaints you got in your mind about the imam sahab. You are feeling comfortable, you are feeling relaxed in the masjid now, there's no proper fans. All type of complaints you have to go. So you got no feelings, no kifiyat, no emotions running high. But this is billions and billions and trillions of time better than this feeling. Feelings is nothing, absolutely nothing. No reward for it and no spiritual gain. Just for that moment, temporarily, you are going high. Just feeling a feeling of high, and then when you're out of it, you're totally down. And the proof that you're totally down is that you're not inspired to get up for the next day's morning fajr. No inspiration, no drive for the fajr in the morning. So that means that the drive was itself not wrong, not right. So anyway, this Naseem, he got caught up with Gulzar cult, and he became the successor of Gulzar. Gulzar was the peer. He's the sheikh, he's the peer, and the successor to this Gulzar is Naseem. Uh, The following is tremendous following, not hundred, thousands and thousands following. Because people go after feelings, when they see the feelings running high, then they want to follow. They don't see any feelings, no kayfiyat, what's the need to go behind it. You will see it very clear in anybody. If he's after feelings, right? After feelings, it will go towards songs, lazams, all that. And when he goes towards that, one thing will definitely come down. That is the recitation of Quran Sharif, adherence to the Sunnah, will definitely get affected. So only one person who's stuck to the songs and all that, whether it's lazams or whatever, though if he's doing it in a permissible way, but he's stuck to these things here. And show me one person who's doing Quran Sharif properly, correctly, as a ma'mul, 5-6 months, sibaras daily. But so stuck into this, so enamored with it, that he doesn't have time for this. Because now that plain recitation of the Quran Sharif, he doesn't feel feeling. Nothing. Making zikr, la ilaha, doesn't get the feeling. But in the songs and the naat and all that, the person is stretching and is coming into different musical arts and notes, the person is feeling very great about himself. Whereas there's absolutely no reward in this. In the zikr, in the Quran Sharif tilawat, there is reward. So anyway, this Naseem becomes a successor to Gulzar. Now, he's learned the art very well, and he's flowing all around Delhi. It's the name of Naseem. So this Naseem became very brave, very bold, came up to the Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, Muhaddis Dehlavi Rahmatullah Alayhi. Now, in his time, he is the greatest Muhaddis in the whole of India. In fact, you would say the whole Indian subcontinent, you couldn't find a person at that level. Al Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, the successor of his father, Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. So, he comes up to Shah Waliullah, Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, and he says, you know, you stuck up with the bonds of the Sharia, everything, and you chained with the Sharia. I offer you something, and you say, no, Sharia is haram. So you are stuck up, you are tied up, you are chained. You chained to what? With the Sharia. Every step you are chained. You are walking in chains. You are walking in shackles. You are walking with yokes. Your head is lowered down. You can't do things. You can't behave like you would want to. You can't go to places. So you are in shackles. Right through, from the head to the throat, you are in shackles. See me, I am free. I can take drinks, alcohol, I can womanize, I can drug, I can do all these things. I am absolutely free. I would have a gay relationship, I can do it. Lesbianism, all everything permissible. So my cult is much superior, there is so much of freedom. And you can see now the type of spiritual development, progress we are going through. See how people become so spiritually high and motivated. Anyway, what he said, whatever he wanted to say, after he's ended whatever he wanted to say, so Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib says to him, alright, I just want to know a little bit of yourself, right? Now, we'll talk about your cult and the goods and the bad of it, the pros and the cons, but let's talk about your cult. So your cult, you are the successor to Gulzar. Alright, let's start off with you, and then if there is a need, we'll go to Gulzar as well. So let us start off with your history. I want to know, what was your very beginning? So obviously the beginning was that I was conceived by my mother. That's the beginning. Then after that, then I was delivered. Right? And after the delivery, 2 years or so, I couldn't move and all that. One year or so. After a year, I began to move, do things, run around. And then when I was 3 or so, then pre-primary, primary, right? And then after that, after the pre-primary, then secondary. Then secondary, after secondary, then tertiary, university, etc. Then after the tertiary, then it was I was joined up and linked up to the army, whether it was the Indian army or the British army, I was linked up. Right. So, and then after that, now, after all that phases, now I'm in this cult. The name of the cult is Char Abru. Char Abru means, in short, four hair. The hair of the head shaved off, hair of the eyebrows is shaved off, moustache is shaved off, and the beard is shaved off. So it's a pure patata. No hair on the head, no eyebrows, no moustache, no beard, absolute patata. So Shastra tells him, now listen, now you sit down. Let me do the talking now. I allowed you to do all your talking. Now you sit down and listen to me. He says, you see, when you were conceived, right? So you were confined, restricted and chained to your mother's womb. Could you just hop out into free air, into the earth and see around? Could you move around? You were restricted to the womb of your mother. Couldn't move right, couldn't move left. Just pure, total restriction. Can't move out of it. That period ended, then you came onto planet Earth. Then again here, for approximately 9 months or so, you were restricted, you couldn't move. Messing up your clothing, throwing up. Every need of yours, you just talk, you were just crying it out, barking and crying, yelling. So you were restricted again. To the bed, or to the couch, or the baby cot, you were restricted. More dirt all around you, and you couldn't do anything, you were restricted. So much of dirt, so much of pain, but you were restricted, you couldn't do your thing. Again, first phase was restriction. The second phase was again restriction, chains. Then as you developed, 2 years, 3 years, then you were sent to a pre-primary. Grade R, or before grade R, right? So you were sent to grade R or before grade R. Again you were chained because you couldn't have your freedom. You couldn't move around, run around, play with friends. You couldn't do that. You had to remain stuck according to their program. You finished all that grade R and pre-primary already finished. Then you were restricted to this primary school. Restricted according to their program, their syllabus, you had to just follow it strictly. As you remain in school, you remain in school. And perhaps the teacher that was teaching you at times gave it to you also. One, two shots. So they gave it to you. Said, yeah, they used to whack us. So, in the beginning, in the womb of your mother, you were restricted. As you were delivered, you were restricted. As you came to pre-primary grade R, you were restricted in chains. As you came out of that whole phase, then you were sent to primary, then again you were restricted. Restricted and with pain. Right? With pain. You know that you were paying and pain. Both was happening at the same time. Right? Then after that, then you went to secondary. Secondary was more advanced. They put you into bigger chains. Because apart from the work that you had at home or in school, you have to carry work home, do this assignment, do this project here, chains again. This chain here, second chain, third chain, can you see now the chains? Chain store, that's why they call it a chain store. They chained you up, can't move. See the bosses in the chain store, can they relax? Chains and shackles all the time. Hey, this shop here, shop number one, shop number two, shop number three. It's a chain. Rato din ki fikar, whole night and day with big fikar. I think he's not working right. Why is it not working? I need to get the manager right. I have to give him a piece of my mind. Shout him up. See the system and the structures are right or not right. So it chains you up. Then you went to tertiary, university. Again, big assignments, projects. Again you went in chains. You didn't have your freedom. Now you're a grown up person, but you still have to listen to the lecturer. And if you are misbehaving, they will send you to the rector and mark you down. Perhaps you can't attend some of the examinations. After all that is over, then you subscribe to the Indian army, right? Indian army or the English army at the time. So you joined up and linked up to the army. Again you're in chain. Early in the morning, parole, have a bath, run, exercises, do some training. You didn't have your own freedom. After all that, now you in the confines, in the chains of Shahr Abru. So he says to him, see, by getting it straight, understand, the man that stepped into this world, he's never free. He's always in shackles. He's always in chains. He's always in bonds. He is never to be free. That's the plan of this world. So the difference between my chain and your chain, the shackle that I got round my neck and your chain that you've got round your neck, the handcuff that I've got in my hands and the handcuffs that you have got, what's the difference? My chain, my shackles are divinely endorsed. And yours is a fate. Mine is genuine and yours is a fake. So with this fake you're running around. You're bluffing people with a fake, with this fake currency of yours. You are bluffing people. You're getting through because they don't know. They can't distinguish. They can't make out the wrong from right. They don't understand it. When they don't understand it, they are going into it, right? So they're accepting you, right? Because of the looks. See the looks. The looks is selling, is causing your product to sell. Otherwise, your product is not supposed to sell. But you got the look, you got the finish, and you are selling. I asked the madrasa boys of group, I asked them. They had a small break, right, for 1 week at a break. Can you show me anyone that didn't go to a mall? So all looked down. So I asked them some stupid questions, you know. Last time I asked them, all of you got phones, right? WhatsApp. Show me that one of you all who didn't stumble onto something wrong. Again, everybody said, don't tell me. But ask yourself, did you stop in the process of looking for something, did you stumble or not? So I ask now, you went to the malls, yeah. So now before they can come up with the story, Zarurat, and you know, students, you know, it's a difficult, it's a very difficult crowd to work with. Because they can reason, counter-reason, keep on hadith, keep on Quran, keep ayat. So normal person is easy to work with. Do it, don't do it, easy to work with. You can't Molana now, hey, you know, it's a little bit of a difficult case. Hard nut. To crack him down, to break him down and make him straight, it's not so simple. People think it's simple. Hazrat Ji himself used to say, Molvi se baat karna mushkil hai. Illa mashallah, the one that is Mola wala is different. Molvi is supposed to be Mola wala. The one that is Mola wala, then it's easy to talk to him. But the one that is not Mola wala, right? In Hazrat's words, is Muli wala. Muli is what? Radish. It's radish wala. No qeemat. Right? Oh, you're gonna give them an explanation, then they're gonna counter. One explanation, then they're gonna counter. So I'm asking to my son how to explain this crowd here. Because you're gonna say them anything and they got something to answer. Right. And they feel, no, we've got arguments, we've got hadith, we're standing on a firm base. Like how the Jews and the Christian, one is saying the other, Laysatil Yahud wa la shay, you got no basis. Jew is saying to Christian, you're absolutely baseless. And the Christian is saying, the Jew, Laysatil Nasara ala shay, you got no basis also. He is labeling him and he is labeling him. Kazalika qala alladhina la ya'lamuna mithla qawli. All of this and mushriks, they are like the ignorant class, right? Compared to Jews and the Christians, because they are the people of the book. I mean, book means knowledge. They got some knowledge. These people got no knowledge. So this is a group of knowledgeable people. And these are people that are not knowledgeable. When they heard this discussion, so they said, both of you are nowhere. You are baseless.
If there's any base, we are still on it. We got a base. You got bases to stand. You got no bases. You got no bases.
It is all the soul. They ask you for the very beginning. You want to move, then just remain within the shackle. Right? Hussain Ahmad Madani Sahib Rahmatullah, he received two great ulama of that time, Mawlana Abdul Majid Daryabadi and Mawlana Abdul Bari. They were quite active in the political movement at that time, from now, late 1800 and beginning 1900. They were very active. So when Hussain Ahmad Madani Sahib received them both, he said, see, the better place for you to go is Thanabon. So I'll accompany you and I will intercede in your behalf. So Wa took them, accompanied them, brought them to Thanabon. Now in Thanabon, when he made the recommendation, to Hazrat Mawlana Thani Sahib said, you see, it's more suitable, it's more appropriate that you accept them than myself accepting them. To Hazrat Mawlana Madani Sahib Rahmatullah excused himself to make like, I'm not capable of this. So Mawlana Thani Sahib says to him, you see, if you say you're not appropriate, you're not at that position to accept them, if by position and competence you mean, you say I'm not competent enough, not capable enough, if you mean that by not being capable enough, what you mean, then you're not at the rank of Hasan Basri and Shibli and Junaid, then both of us are in the same class, we are not at that rank of Hasan Basri, Junaid Baghdadi, Shibli, etc. We're not at that level. Neither am I at that level, neither are you at that level. And if you are asking about making Islam of these people, then I am also capable of doing it and you are also capable of doing it. Now people want to make Islam and they say, no, I can't find a busruk like Junaid Baghdadi, Hasan Basri. I must find someone that's at that level, you know, then I can come in. But then this is selective. Because you ask the same persons, alright? Then that, if you use the same analogy, then in fiqh, you can't find a faqih like Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. All the whole world put together, they can't match Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. The first step of Abu Hanifa, they can't match it. So that means you'll only learn fiqh if you get a personality like Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. Otherwise, keep it on hold. You're not going to learn hadith until you don't find a personality like Ibrahim Nakhai, Hasan Basri, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi. You don't find people at that level, I am not prepared. I must get a person at that level, then will I learn. When I have a person at that level, leave it out. Just count me out. Keep it on hold. Conveniently, fiqh and hadith, you will learn the thing. Despite the fact that you didn't find personalities at that level. But when you came to tasawuf, then you said, no, I need to have Hasan Basri, Fayyid Baghdadi, Fuzail ibn Iyaz, I need to have Yahya Bukka, I have all these people here. When I get all these people here, then I'm going to go. I'm going to move. I'll give my whole self, my whole life. Before that, just count me out. I'm not going at all. So you see, being selective. Our Akabir, alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, all of them, look at any of our Akabir, like they made a concerted effort on the ilm zahiri, fiqh, hadith, tafsir, etc., then they made a concerted effort in this regard as well. See the likes of the Shaykh Ulin Rahmatullahi, every great alim is linked up to him. Nearly every great alim of that era. You know? And then nearly every alim that came under him was a mujaddid. Al-Mawad Thani Sahib is a mujaddid. Al-Mawad Madani Sahib Rahmatullahi is a mujaddid, right? Shah Sahib is a mujaddid. Al-Mu'ilyas Sahib is a mujaddid. All of them under him. But then, you saw the products, but you see the man's sacrifice. Comes a Thursday, right? The last period in a madrasa is about around Asr time. Ready to Asr namaz on foot for 38 or 40 kilometers
on foot. There's no proper roads at that time. We're talking of the 1200, late 1200s. No proper on foot is going to Gango straight. Read the Jummah namaz there, Thursday stayed over, read Jummah namaz. And after Jummah namaz, he has to come back, because by Asar Maghrib he must be back. On foot is coming back. So he built an affinity with the Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi to such a level that the Nawab is like a lord, in London you have Lord Mayor and all that. So he's controlled the whole area, like you talk of the whole of Durban, Mayor, the state is God, the wealth is God. Apart from the position, it was so much of wealth. Right? Like imagine a person owning the whole Durban, so that's like a Nawab. Right? So he came in for his Islam. Right. When he came in for his Islam, Abu Zubaydin, very, very appropriate steps were all measured, calculated. You know that this person came for this purpose, I need to correct him, I need to get him right. So now look at the two steps of reformation. Now, in our Khanka today, if one Nawab has to come, say, Hazrat, sit here, get tired. Let's get wuzu pani for you. Food will be delivered. What is this the menu? Just choose, We'll organize for you. You must stay over. So much of ikram, right? At that time, Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi had lost his sight. When he lost his sight, now he's seated in his place, where the buzruk will sit, he'll sit on a carpet, right? So sometimes there's just one chatai, a straw mat, and sometimes four or five people bring some carpets. Some will bring for barakat, say. I must sit here for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, eat some namaz, and then he'll take it away. Right? So, the previous day, there were three, four carpets, right? Mona was sitting on. And now Mona sees it's about one carpet. So he asks, Kalin jo bishi hui thi, wo kaha gayi? He's blind, he just can't see. So everybody is quiet. So it's now Khitab-e-Aam, it's a general address. Now it goes specific. Moli Yahya sahab, wo kalin yahan par bicha hua tha, uska kya hua? The carpet that was laid here, what has happened to it? So Moha had to say it, he had to spill the beans. He says, wo Nawab sahab aaye hue, the Nawab sahab came in his ikram, in his respect, he had kept it, so he could see it nicely. Now see, he came for his reformation, and the whole reformation process is started off. So Mohan says, Nawab sahab ki haan, kalino ki kush kami thi, ke unke liye kalin le gaye. The Nawab sahab, was there a shortage of a carpet in his residence, that you had to take up and uproot this carpet to go and make him comfortable? Why had to say this? So, uski adi nawabi wahi khatam ho gayi. His half nawabi, that mizaj, that pride and arrogance and attitude, that was knocked down. The half of it was knocked down. Now it's meals time. Shaykh Ulhind Rahmatullahi, I showed you his position, right? The Shaykh Ulhind Rahmatullahi, it's meals time. And he's seeing now, although he's coming from a wealthy background, but as he came in, progressed, then that self, ego, etc., everything had just collapsed in him. Everything collapsed. Now he's dressed simply, that clothes doesn't mean anything to him anymore. Not that it's dirty or filthy, it's clean, but there's no attraction on the clothing. Like a simple person's clothing is wearing. So anyway, when he saw that the Tawab, the Sterkhan is being laid down for the Nawab, so he tried to slip away. And Hazrat Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi, he sensed it, this man is trying to escape, and this is the reason for he's trying to move away. Because he felt now that, you see, I dress up so simply, this is a Nawab Sahib, he's dressed up with all that royal attire, I'm dressed up like this, like a Tocha boy, I'm dressed up, So he won't feel comfortable in my presence. So rather I move away so that he is relaxed and he eats well. So he tried to sneak away. As he tried to sneak away, so Mohan Gangohi asked from Sheikh Ulim Mawli Mahmood Saab, tum kaha ja rahe hai, where are you going to? He kept quiet. You can't say in front of the Nawab that this is the reason why I'm going away. Obviously, you can't say it. But Moha made out that what's the reason? What's the reason for him running away? So he says, ke Nawab sahab ko hum faqeeron ke saath bair karke khane mein khane ko apne izzat ke khilaf samajhte ho to apne khane ka intezam aur kahin kar le, baki hamara saath to marne jeene ka hai. He says that if Nawab sahab doesn't feel comfortable sitting with us and having meals, right, he can arrange for his meals at some other place. But our relationship is with life and death. Our relationship is with life and death. We are inseparable with life, inseparable with death. Now the rest of that Nawabi that was left, half was chopped down and half was left. But also it brought up the morale of Shaykh Ulim Ahmad, you don't realize who you are. You are underestimating yourself. So don't do this. Serious fanayat. Man is Thursday and is running away to Congo. Friday on foot is coming. He doesn't have to be told. Of his own he's doing it. So this person came Sheikh Ulim not just like that. He became as though the teacher of millions and millions of people. It wasn't an overnight thing. It was a lot of lengthy effort that went behind it. So on the zahir he also perfected. In the batin he also perfected. Now he's perfect. So now what's going on now is, we got the zahir right a little bit, and then we sort of become content. The batin is not right. When the batin is not right, then you're not getting the acceptance. You got the meat without the aromat. You got the meat, you got the chops and all that, but there's no flavor in it. Right? Or it's not rightly done. You got the, all chops are right. Chops or the steak is alright, you know, the expensive type of, Raku was telling me or someone was telling me, one chop from that cow, you know, they bought now, how much that thing costs and one chop, how much it will go for? I think one piece will go for about 100 or 250 rand, one piece will go. Right? So it's right, but you didn't marinate it right. You didn't dry correctly. I ask you, can you serve it to anybody? With all its price, with everything else, but can you get the right price? So the price, the value will go when it's right, the meat is right, and the spicing and the aromatic is right as well. Now you just get half right, and we want that acceptance, it's not going to happen. E mahalas, e khialas, wa mahalas wa junoon. It's just an illusion. It's impossible that it can't happen. For a serve that half made, or unmarinated, unspiced, and you want it, want people to accept it, you'll have to spice yourself correctly. So that spice has to permeate, has to go right inside. Can't just go on the top also. It's go right in within the system. And now when it's acquired that taste, now that meat that was worth, that meat or that steak that was worth 10 rands, now they'll offer 150 rands for it. See that from 10 rands to 150 rands, the value of it just picked up. But then, for you to be able to market the product, then you need to marinate yourself. So you got the zahir right, and the batin is totally neglected. And I feel it's a disservice to the amanat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How? Because on the Hajjatul Wida, when the Sahaba were asked, so the answer was for Ad-Dayt al-Amana. An amana will mean a complete deen. And if we offered and we delivered half a deen, quarter a deen, we didn't do it right. I ask you, in all confidence, in all faith, with all the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, if we haven't done it, can we say that we have discharged that amanat? Can we say that? And everybody is being addressed. Doesn't mean only ulama are addressed here. Everybody is addressed. Then everybody has to get this thing right. Get the zahir right. Get the batin right. Both has to be got right. You got the zahir, the outside right, now get the inside right also. That strength, that stability, that firmness, that you're not going to move now.
Hazrat Haji Sahib Rahmatullahi, or Hazrat Miaji Nur Muhammad Sahib Rahmatullahi. He was a murid, you see. I think his name was Sher Khan Sahib. So his brother was a Naqshbandi peer. Now sometimes you have this murid shopping, you know. Everybody is shopping for murids. So one good candidate, the shop for him. So the shopping that is going on, right? So the shopping type of mentality is not right. Because if I'm shopping, then I'm shopping, see. One person is doing the books for choppies. So he told me what is choppies. I didn't know what is choppies. So I know what is choppies. Anyway. So like a chain store. So if you are shopping, then you are chopping. What are you chopping? You're chopping the standards of the tasawwuf. Because for you to sell your product, you have to chop the principles. When you're going to chop the principles, then people are going to accept. But what have you done? Have you done a service or a misservice? Or a disservice? No, it's alright, this also. Maybe chaltai. Maybe chaltai, it's alright. It also can work. Of course, this also can work. So, see, you're going to be chopping. Al Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi, he says this chopping business is haram. And he quotes it in the verse of the Quran, وَدُّ لَوْ تُدْهِنُ فَيُدْهِنُ. So what these people wish, they wish that you become pliant, compromising, then will they compromise also? You will compromise, and they will also compromise, both of you all. Alright, don't mind, let's do a balancing act. You balance a little bit, you'll do some balancing act, you will do some balancing act. So what you mean by the balancing act is, I won't correct you. I won't stop you. You're doing something, let it carry on, let it be. And I'm doing something, you will let it be. So nor will I go and correct you, nor will you correct me. What is this? It's a deal that we have struck. A deal in what? In our property or the Allah Pak's property? Whose deal is whose property? Does it belong to us or does it belong to Allah Ta'ala? I can do a deal in my rights. This thing belongs to me. I want to consign to you 50 rands and I want to consign to you for 500 rands. But if the product is yours and I'm just managing it, can I discount the price? Can't. I can't do it. It's wrong. I'm cheating you. So it's a property of Allah Ta'ala. I can't cheat. No matter who is on the other side, but I can't cheat. I will show it as it were, right? So this is the mentality that is being created when you're going to have this. Sometimes it's a fatwa shopping, sometimes it's a murid shopping. You can't get the fatwa right one place, you go to another place. Otherwise you've got a murid shopping. They're hunting down murids, this idea, that side. So how you hunt him, how you hunt him down is you chop the standards. You chop the standards that people find it very easy. But in the meanwhile, you compromise and you chop the standards. What was haram, you couldn't say it. Just to get the confidence of the murid, you have to chop. But then I ask you, then did you take him on the sunnah, or do you take him on another path? So you got this Sher Muhammad Khan Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, and he's come to Hazrat Ali Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, or Hazrat Miaji Muhammad Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, take a bayat at his hands. After he's taken bayat in his hands, now his brother is a peer. And the brother is saying, you know, you must learn from me. Otherwise, ek din tum pachtaoge, one day you will have regrets. You'll be regretful one day. So the brother would say, one that's linked up with Nyaji Sahib, you see, my sheikh is complete, he's enough for me. Mere sheikh mere kafi, he's enough. If you don't see total conformity in me, it's not because of the deficiency of my shaykh. Yes, I'm not coming on. I'm not coming on to the party. But he's not deficient. Yes, there's some problem in me. I need to fix myself. I need to come to the party. So, there is no problem in him. The problem lies with me.
Anyway, he kept on taunting him. Now the same murid of Miyadi Sahib Rahmatullah is on the throes of death, about passing away. As he's about to pass away, so this peer of his brother, that is a peer, he comes to him and says, read the kalima. Now he's semi-conscious, so he's not recognizing. So now, he found the opportune time now to taunt him. See, I told you, one day you will regret. What a time to come and remind a person. See, the shopping business goes so bad. Man is on his way out, I let him go nicely by. To taunt him in this time, at this state. Anyway, someone mentioned this to Miyadi Sahib Rahmatullah, this Sher Muhammad Khan Sahib is on the final throes, conscious, semi-conscious, and this was happening. So he came. As he came, he made salam. And he says, Khan Sahib, kya baat hai? What's happening? So now he's conscious and semi-conscious, coming up and going. But he said, kya baat ho rahi? What's happening? So he got up, fully conscious, and then he says, Ya layta qawmi ya'lamoon bima ghafara li rabbi wa ja'alani min al-mukarameen. And he would say this word and passed away straight. He says, if my people only knew how Allah Ta'ala blessed me, how He honored me, how He forgave me. He said this and straight away passed away. But what an appropriate time to say this words. He's blessed and he's honored as well. And saying these words and he's gone. So you see the stability and firmness. No, then you're not wavering, not balancing. The instability comes in with most of us when we don't have the level of confidence, or when there is some type of a comparison. Compare this against this. So you're not stable, not firm. That is why we talk about the parda and the importance of parda. So, two friends got married to two sisters, right? When they got married to the two sisters, now there isn't enough parda going on in the home. So he's looking at his wife, he's looking at his wife. So this one says, you know, I got stuck. I supposed to get the new beautiful one, and the more beautiful one went to my friend. Then he taunts his wife, you know, I got stuck up with you, man. I supposed to get that girl, I got stuck up with you. Kept on taunting her, until she went into a depression, and she went and killed herself. But you see, this semi-parda, no-parda, not observing the type of parda, and what it leads to. Comparison. I said, I was stuck up with this woman, you know, I just had to live with her. Now she's understanding that, well, I'm a burden in her life, in his life, and I can't separate. If I would have separated, then who's going to take me? My whole home will be against me. Said, why do you not make this marriage work? Now her home will shout her, she's disowned her husband, now she's thinking, what's the better thing for me? Fell into a depression, committed suicide, gone, class. But where it stems from? Stems from this parda. So whatever the Sharia says, then there is some great wisdom. But just that we can't see it, because we cannot see it, so we don't want to identify it. So Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullah is explaining to this Naseem, that is the Charaburu cult, you know. He says to him, you see, both of us are on chains. You are in chains, I'm in chains. You in a bond, I'm in a bond. You in a shackle, I'm in a shackle. So the difference between my shackle, my chain, and your chain is that my chain is genuine. It's got the shari, the endorsement of the Quran, endorsement of the hadith, right? It's endorsed. And yours is faked up. But because you're working and you're living amongst people that don't know the reality, so they're allowing that currency of yours to float around. They can't see it. But it must be just death. Death must just come. The time that death comes, then the filth will be separated from the genuine. Filth and good, both will be separated. Then you'll see what a problem you are in. To any airport for that matter, and you come with a fake airport, with a fake passport, what happens? They won't listen to you, they put you into prison straight away. Where did you get this fake passport from? So you don't realize what a dangerous game you are playing until you come up to the customs, the immigrations of the hereafter. When you come to the immigrations of the hereafter, then will you realize the problem that you brought upon yourself. So here we are in chains, right? Can't see the things that we want to see. Mawlana Mazhar Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, is the founder of Mazahir Ulum, Nasarpur. We have the Sheikh Mawlana Ilyas Rao were teaching there, right? Founder of the Tabligh Jamaat, he was the founder of the Madrasa. So one person comes up to Mawlana Mazhar Sahib and he says to him, you know, why can't we look at girls? Look at the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, the splendor, the beauty of Allah Ta'ala reflecting on this girl, you know, how beauty. Some of the beautiful lads, you know, look at them, we admire, and we see the beauty of Allah Ta'ala in that. So he tried to silence Mawlana. Some people come, they got an agenda. So you can see the smoke on the face, what he's trying, he's trying to incite. So now, these ulama also, Allah gives them that understanding, how to put them to size. Mawlana Mazhar told him, you know what, you want to look at Qudrat, etc., look at something even greater. You know, look at the place that you came from. What is such a constraint you came from, such a big, huge, fat person like you, what a constricted place you came from. So, sometimes the eyes are constricted, you can't see what you want to see. The ears are constricted and constrained, you can't hear what you want to hear. What must hear? You can't listen to anything and everything. Tongue is restrained. Even your heart, one is the ears, the eyes, the tongue. The heart, people don't consider the thoughts that pass the heart as a sin. إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. If you are going to be answerable for the eyes, you are answerable for the wrongs of the heart as well. Now the heart, the faults of the heart, we don't consider it as a fault. Yes, the heart, the fault of the eye, we consider it as a fault. The wrong of the ear, we consider it as a fault. The wrong of the tongue, we consider it as a wrong. But the fault of the heart, do we count it as a wrong? The fault of misusing time, do we count it as a wrong? It's also a problem. On the day of Qiyamah, the first questions that are going to be asked, right? How did you pass your youth? And how did you pass your life? So it's about time, managed or mismanaged, used or abused. So life, you're going to be questioned about the time, then you're going to be questioned and scrutinized about your heart as well. And then people don't consider the wrongs that are connected to the heart as a wrong. I ask you, if you are fantasizing about the next man's wife, right, ask anybody, is that the right thing? His daughter, his wife, his mother, you're fantasizing about. Would the other person like this? Will he accept this? So isn't this a wrong? But the fault, the mistake is with the mind. Mind is fantasizing about the wrong thing. So that means the wrong of the heart, the wrong of the mind also is a wrong. The sin of the heart is also a sin. Now that wrong that is associated with the heart, people don't count it as a wrong. Especially in this age and time, a wrong can come around. And then we just have one, two indicators of that wrong, and then we are certain about it. There was a theft now, alright. On that theft now, there was a person that was walking past there. He's a thief. So it happened, in the old days it happened, that if there is circumstantial evidence, then why shouldn't we count him as the guilty person? There is some circumstantial evidence. So this person was talking hard about it, you know, circumstantial evidence, circumstantial evidence. The Muslim was saying to him that if there is, for example, a pot of milk with a layer of cream on the top, right? After it's boiled, there's a layer of cream. And say, for example, there is a crack on that layer of cream, and in the vicinity you see a dog, and the dog has got some signs of cream on its lips. So you will say that, will you say that that milk is napak? You haven't seen it, or is it napak? So some great ulama of that time said, no, it's not napak. Until you haven't seen it, there could be other possibilities, right? For that thing's mouth to be covered with the cream. Perhaps someone broke the cream, or separated the cream, and threw it outside. And the dog licked it up, so its whole mouth got messed up with the cream. So when there is a possibility, then how do we say that that milk is haram? How can we say it's napak? So that man objected, he said, no, circumstantial evidence, we've got the evidence. So I say, by our understanding is a minuscule in comparison to the understanding of the fuqaha of the past. Right? Like in hadith, our understanding is a minuscule to Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi. I'm looking at some shuruhat, etc. I see any simple person wants to attack Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi. Where is your reasoning and where is that man's reasoning? Where is your understanding? Where is his understanding? Where is your commitment? Where is his commitment? Are you at that level to criticize that man? Understand where you are. Like a person that is sweeping the floor in a doctor's surgery, and he says, "Oh, Doctor Sahib, you know your work." But you're not in the position. You're not in the position to criticize a person at that level. So this man is objecting. Oh, you've got circumstantial evidence. You've got the circumstantial evidence. Then how can we not say that he is guilty? Hazrat Yahya should speak about this. He should speak about it repeatedly. لَوْلَا جَاءُوا عَلَيْهِ بِأَرْبَعَةِ الشُّهَدَاءِ فَإِذَا مِيَأْتُوا بِالشُّهَدَاءِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْكَاذِمُونَ. Repeatedly, I can remember him repeatedly saying this verse. Why didn't they produce the required evidence? Zina is 4, other crimes is 2. Why don't they produce the required evidence? If they fail to bring the required evidence, in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, they are liars. Although they have seen it. You can't disprove them not seeing it, they saw it. But they don't have the required amount of evidence. When they don't have the required amount of evidence and they're talking about it, and for ulaika in the lie, ulaika humul kadhibun, in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, they are liars. Khalas. See that? So the wrongs that are associated to the heart is also a crime. Inna sam'a wal basara wal fu'ada kullu ulaika kana anhu mas'ula. Before Ramadan, there must be an absolute clear sheet. You know, that when we walk into Ramadan, coming to Rajab, Shaban, the Ramadan, we are just moving in like soft buttons, moving, it's progressing, and wanting to meet Ramadan. So every wrong that we involved in or we got involved in somehow or the other, mistakenly or deliberately, you need to clear yourself, absolutely clear it up. Made a mistake, I fell into it. Small mistake, and I didn't want to talk to the person for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. It's a misunderstanding. I thought like this, but my thinking was wrong. But then I was just turned away, disorientated. But then after 2 weeks I realized it was a misunderstanding. There was no proof for me to be turned away from him. Why did I get turned away? Logo ka zehn bhi bada kaccha hai. Very immature, very, very immature. Small little thing triggers the doubts. Small little thing triggers the doubts. Now, when you're going to be like this, eventually it's going to turn around and come attacking you. Sometimes it can come within your own family. Small little thing, and you become doubtful, become suspicious. But way started off from, you treated the next person the same way with suspicion, so that thing went around and came and attacked you. So Hazrat's principle is, you don't have the evidence, I don't know it, class. Even someone told me 101 things, but I don't know it. I'm not going to speak about it. And I don't know it. I don't want to get into the discussion. So anyway, the same person, he's walking on a very isolated path. As he comes to an isolated path, so he saw his friend. His friend has been just stabbed to death, and the body is fluttering, like, you know. The dagger is right, pierced right into his heart. So he pulled the dagger out. Obviously, the natural response was to pull the dagger out. As he pulled the dagger out, the thing is dripping with blood, and the police just came around. It's right, circumstantial evidence. See, what he was rejecting, that thing went around and came to attack you. Now prove yourself. Are you going to prove yourself? Did he kill him? Was he the guilty person? He saw his friend, and he saw his friend killed, right? You know, with this cell phone nowadays, it's such a menace, you know. So what was he telling me? That in his backyard he saw some wine bottle, you know. So he said, hey, what can a wine bottle do in my yard? So he picked that wine bottle up. Someone saw him, and this camera at him straight snapped him. Hey, Hazrat, he's got a wine bottle here, Castle Lager. What are you doing? See this, the game that people play now, it's a very dangerous game. Very, very dangerous game. Smallest doubt and suspicion. And then you want to label the person, cut him off, talk about it, reservations. But I ask you, on the day of Qiyamah, if you are asked, you are called, say you are labeling this person, you are talking about this person, you said this about this person here, did you have any evidence? The hadith is reported on the day of Qiyamah. Right? I was explaining the pioneer students, there's a two checkpoints, you know. Like how you have an immigration, there's two checkpoints. The first checkpoint is the checkpoint between the Jannatis and Jahannamis. Gone. Jahannamis have separated from Jannatis, Muslims against the Kafirs. So the first checkpoint you have gone through. Now you come through the second checkpoint, Antara, next bridge, right? So in that next bridge, now you have to sort out. You labeled me, I labeled you. You smacked me, I hit you, right? You robbed me, I cheated you. Now, there's going to be a sorting out there. You have to correct. All that has to be sorted out. Hatta idha huzibu wa nukku. Proximate words. Must be absolutely clean. Because Jannat cannot take anything. Any fool it can't take. Any wrong that's taken place, go and sort it out. So you want an acceptance by Allah Ta'ala. You want to come right. Allah, you know, as you die, and straight away you want things to work out. Well, no problems. You don't want any delay. You don't want any problems. You don't want any delay. Then see that the both checkpoints are right. First is on the imaniyat. You got your iman all right. Amal iman, you got it right. Then the socializing and interaction. Are you right in that as well? Or you went wrong some ways, big or small. You are right or you are wrong. If you are wrong or you are doubtful, then you have to sort yourself out. And sort yourself out correctly. So I was telling the class today, you know, there was a section, Man Hallala, he got that person marked, you know. He got himself marked. I did you wrong, so I got myself marked. Now, there's a way to get yourself marked. I remember, I was in Myasam, about 73 or something. 72, 73. So one, the tartib, then I used to study, did your hips and all that, in some kitabs, and they send you to India, right? Do the further course, complete your course there. So one person now is above me, and with all due respect, you know, anything, you know, you've been staying together, living together, so anything that has happened, make maaf. As a simpleton, as I am up till now, I said, yeah, maaf what? How everything is done, but that thing began to play in my mind, why so much of respect and all, he came and asked for a maaf. Then I discovered, I had a book, all my important notes I had in there, you know, like, you get some gems here, this side, that side. Now, he made a plan for the book, and after making the plan for the book, I said, Whatever happened, make maaf. No, it's like saying, I am owing you 2 million rand. You know, Eid day comes. Bhai Hazrat, maaf. Everything I did is maaf. You don't know what's my intention. You said, yeah, it's maaf. So right, that 2 million is you made maaf that 2 million is all off. It's a right or finish. Now you can't demand. Is that the right way? Because you make maaf. And I don't know what I'm making maaf for. I'm saying, alright, maybe in the business, maybe I shouted you or I said something not in turn or something. So for that, that's making maaf. I don't know what you're intending. So that may be learned. If someone tells me make maaf, you know, and seriously, I say, alright, but tell me what were the points, you know. Was it material, immaterial, what was it? Before I declare that maaf, I can remember that incident, you know, 73, from then till now, how many years? I remember that thing stuck in my mind. Because what a beautiful way he came, other big maaf, you know, we're living here in a place, Miaswam, and maybe, you know, something went off, something didn't sound very right, so make maaf for that. Now, after that I discovered that he took the book away, like, hey, how crafty, how he played this game with me. So there's two levels of, there's two checkpoints. The one is Imaniyat, etc. That you can get your clearance, right? And the second clearance is then you're between yourselves. Between yourself. Where did you go wrong? Abu Zubayr didn't say, in some respects, the rights of people are much more important than the rights of Allah Ta'ala. What's the reason? See, the reason is, for Allah Ta'ala to make maaf is easy. You said, Allah maghfir, you know, genuinely you ask Allah to make maaf. Right? So for Allah Ta'ala to make maaf is nothing. Because Allah doesn't have feeling that we have emotions and feelings. He doesn't have those things. فَعَالُوا yurid. He creates the feelings. He doesn't experience feelings, but he creates the feeling. He makes things happen. So for you to make maaf is nothing. Whatever wrong you've done, one stroke, you can make you all maaf. But a man, if he's been hurt, can he make maaf simply? Can he? If he's made maaf also, but the stain of the hurt, is still being experienced, he still feels it. So for him to make maaf, it becomes very difficult. So in some respects, his hukukul ibad becomes even more important than hukukul la as well. Both are standards created by Allah Ta'ala, it's hukukul la or hukukul ibad. But Allah Ta'ala wants us to be very careful when you're working with people. How do you work with them? How do you talk to them? Are we cheating? Are we robbing? Are we trying to make a way? Are we doing something? Are we crafty? Are we shrewd? Are we doing things with people? How are we behaving? We want our rights to be fulfilled. Is a talu al nasi yastofun. My rights, you mustn't overstep my mark, my rights. But yours is alright. What you are? Nothing. You're a kachra, so it's alright. I can overstep your rights. It's alright. The king of India, Mahmud Ghazali, great alim, very great alim, and a very successful ruler. So he sees in his dream, he's a palace, this is your jannat. It's shown state of the art, finishes, and the beauty, and everything. So he says, allow me to get into my jannat. So he sees on the side of the jannat of his, he sees a whip. But he identifies that it's my whip. So no, you can't get into the jannat. Why? You see this work of yours, it touched him like this. With the rope came one stroke. So until that is not sorted out, that's the second checkpoint. Until that is not sorted out, you can't get your admission into Jannah. Now he sees this around 1 o'clock in the morning, can't sleep, he can't sleep now. He's tossing around this side, that side, this side, that side. That now this person has jammed my entry into Jannah. I have been ill-treating him. In the morning, he said, please, for Allah's sake, you know, take this stick and hit me. Well, the servant says, bhai, you know, you committed one injustice. For me to hit you would be a second injustice. King, now I will come and hit him. So I at least say that I did maaf. But Mahmud Ghaznavi, till the end, until that person was alive, he kept on seeing him right. Favors, presents, etc. That this must be cleared out. If I got my hukukullah right, who ibad right, and I am flowing, I am moving. Allah Baktawfiq.